some risk, lack of surveillance, the ability to do this, we hope, impact our Texas industry with very minimal intrusion at their own. Whenever they're ready, we'll test the cattle. As far as latent heifers, most of the time, in my experience, a latent heifer will serial convert before she calves. I don't believe most of these heifers are going to be quarantined that long. But, you know, but we can work that out individually. If a producer wanted to test them when their bulls turned out, test them again in 3 or 6 months, you know, we can do whatever they want to do. It's not our intent to get into anybody's business. It is our intent to try and do the best we can to ensure that we don't accidentally get an infected animal in Texas and then we don't have any way to catch it. It could actually spread, and then we could have multiple herds involved with multiple traces. And it's just, it's a philosophical, just a different perspective on what is acceptable risk. And I entirely respect y'all's position, and I'm not questioning at all. I think what we're telling you guys is we're not real comfortable with the risk right now. We'd like to continue to evaluate it. We'd like to look at the USDA report. We'd like to, you know, I think the other states, they ought to, you know, we ought to get a little more formal. You gave us 50 pages. Some of those other guys didn't. I'll just leave it at that. So it's a little confusing from our perspective. And with that said, I'm open-minded to revisiting this, but I don't think, you know, Andy, you're not backing off, right? You guys, in fact, they didn't want to back off on the whole state. I'll just tell you all that. The EPIC group wanted to do the state. I backed off to DSA. So you know, if you have any dissension in our side, it's that they wanted to be more conservative than we are. So that's my statements. And you're not wrong, but we're not wrong either, I don't think. It's just, you know what I mean?
I think as chairman, I can give you my assurance that if there's some language that's in here that gives the interpretation that we're trying to pick on anybody or impede trade, and if we can clean this up soon, we are an industry-driven agency here, but we also listen to our state veterinarian and his staff. And so we have to find the happy medium there. And we meet 4 times a year, sometimes more. You have my assurance that we can continue if approved today. If we need to make some changes, we can do that quickly. I think Commissioner Jordan had a comment.
A couple comments or questions. I think one thing just to, I think we look at this, that if you're one person today is buying heifers and in particular out of that area, I think if you bring them down here and you've been breeding them and then you resell them as a bred heifer, that will probably would stop, because that testing requirement after you breed her and sell her would have to go to the next person. So at the sale or Country Trade USA, Ernie, you've got to test this heifer now, this whole group of heifers, after they all calve, possibly for brucellosis, whatever, because of the quarantine. Now, I think as a buyer, I would not mess with that group of heifers. Now, if you're just there to keep them, and say Brandon buys them, I'm going to ranch them all the way through, he may be willing to take the risk. So I think we understand that. That particular area, I think, will slow down as far as heifers coming in here because of that regard. Now, the question I have is, I can put it together right quick, is I'm trying to understand the concept how you track these. A lot of Montana heifers, and I'm not sure where they all come from, end up in Oklahoma wheat fields, and a lot of them are offered to the state of Texas after they go there in the spring of the year to be bred. And I don't see how anybody's going to trace those heifers when they mix them from Montana. They mix them from different parts of Montana, some from Wyoming. They throw them all together in those wheat fields, and they offer them for sale to different customers in Texas or wherever it is. My question, I guess, here is how would you even track those, that those heifers have to be retested at any point in time? And that's my question, because the first thing I can see is those guys in Montana saying, let's send those cattle to Oklahoma. They get lost there, basically, because they don't have the same requirement Texas has. Then we can move into Texas very easily. And so we've avoided this whole concept we're after is basically you go around the edge to get back in here.
Yeah, that was a substance of my recent comments, which is basically you either, by putting this requirement, you either ask other states to track Montana DSA animals throughout really their lifetime until, for feeders obviously younger, until they go to Texas or if they go to Texas, or you're admitting defeat and you're saying basically they won't be tracked and they're going to ignore a Texas regulation, which from my perspective, I would not want to put a Montana regulation in place that I knew was not going to be honored by anybody.
Well, I'll just say, you know, my understanding is that the three state vets have all given me their assurance that if this rule passes, either implicitly or explicitly, they've given me their insurance that they'll try and help make sure that the intent is met. We have the same issue with TB right now. We require rope and steer, Mexican rope and steer, to have a TB test, and they consistently circumvent that by going to New Mexico or some other state that doesn't require a test, and then they come in as a beef animal, not as a Mexican rope and steer. And so that's inherent. You're like Marty said, you either just say, well, we're not going to mess with it because it's not going to work, or you throw it out there and hope that you get voluntary compliance, which is what I would hope happens here. And you know, that's all you can do. I mean,
but we thank you so much. Oh, do you have one more comment?
One other question back to the elk, Marty. Are you card testing them on the spot after you have them caught with the net?
Yeah.
Why are you not sending those positive to the food bank or something? Is that a...
Yeah, no, so, yes, we are card testing, and card test is a rapid test for brucellosis. We are card testing those animals in the field. We're also doing another test, so we're getting a pretty good idea whether they're reactors or not. But again, the outcome from that study is what we're looking to do. You know, do they carry to term? Do they abort? If they abort, when during the year do they abort? Do they abort on private ground or on forest ground?
So they're alive and turned loose again then.
Correct. Well, and they're collared, and then they're going to be eliminated from the study down the road. So, Chairman, if I can make just one comment regarding Class A status, that's as far as Class A went away. That's true. You know, states are not really being downgraded right now. If the new cases of brucellosis are within a brucellosis management area, such as in Montana, we are able to address those on a case-by-case basis, and it doesn't impact the state status. But what I'd say is that even if we were Class A or Class B, which is even lower status, we would not be subject to testing requirements. Our cattle would not be subject to testing requirements as are being proposed today. So again, I feel that it's a more significant regulation and restriction that is warranted by the risks in Montana.
And one other question, is there a requirement of mandatory testing of each herd every 3 years at least to see if a herd that's, I know the slaughter cows going out of there, but let's just say a young herd starts out, all heifers, and they're there for 10, 15 years, if they don't recull very many cattle or whatever, is there any test requirement? Have y'all got that put in place?
Yeah, that's a great question.
In the DSA.
Yeah, in the DSA. So the question is, do we have a scheduled every 3 years, let's say every herd gets tested in the DSA? And what I'll say is that used to be the case. We had an every 3 year requirement. Our industry asked us to reconsider. And what we did is we sunsetted that, or we stopped that regulation for this reason. We said, okay, fine. If you don't want to do a herd test in your herd, that hurts you. That hurts you, that herd owner, because you are allowing that brucellosis disease to fester in your herd and potentially go from just 1% to 20 or 30%, and then you would lose much of your herd to brucellosis. So what we said is the herd test protects your own operation, but the purchase test protects the buyers of your cattle. So we kept the purchase test, and keep in mind that all those guys that don't have, all those folks, and first of all, a number of folks do a whole herd test on an annual basis or every other year. The only other thing I'll say is that even those folks that don't do an annual test or a whole herd test have cull cow testing, and they also have change of ownership testing. So there is still surveillance going on, as shown by numbers. Last thing I'll say, I apologize, but I just had Dr. Eric Liska and his compliance person look at who did and who didn't submit tests throughout our entire DSA for the last 12 months. And we identified a handful of producers that have not submitted a test in the last 12 months for brucellosis. And then we have followed up with those folks to find out why that is. And in some of those, they've submitted tests, but they were under a different brand name. In a bunch of them, they were very small herds that didn't submit slaughter samples, et cetera, et cetera. And we have identified some compliance issues with our sale market. So what I'm trying to say is this is a very active program. We are 100% focused on it. And so nothing is airtight, but we're working as hard as we can.
What if we, I'm just throwing it theoretically out there, and D, you can respond to this. If this applied to non, and I'm just using this term like we used to have, certified free herds, that way, it's really not you all pushing it, the market would be pushing it if they wanted to come to Texas. If they're certified free herd, those calves can move without a test.
I think that's probably an oversight that we didn't include that in there. If you have a certified free brucellosis herd in the DSA, we would accept animals out of that.
And because if you got that many of them doing it, reward those people for doing it.
That's the question. We can, that's certainly, I mean, that's.
That was going to be my next question.
We just didn't put it in the rule, but we accept certified free dairy cattle. You know, we require dairy cattle coming to the TB test unless they're from a certified free herd or accredited free for that program. So that would be an obvious concession that would be easily accommodated.
Do you have any of those in there?
Yeah, the reason I'm.
Well, they're not. They don't have, letting, I'll just let him.
Yeah, no, the reason I'm hesitating here, while I appreciate the offer, the reason I'm having a introspective moment is that one of the two reactors that we're chasing down from right now is from a brucellosis certified free herd. And what I'm trying to say by that is a test once a year doesn't really protect this because of the
right.
weird way that the elk brucellosis gets transferred from wildlife. Just because you have a test in October doesn't mean that you're free to go until the following October because you've had the entire elk brucellosis abortion and calving season. So in fact, yeah, I mean, there should be a reward from folks that do testing, but that doesn't protect the receiving state. What protects the receiving state is testing those animals before they wind up selling, and that's how we found a number of our reactors in the state of Montana. And again, that rate of reactors is super low. So I really appreciate it.
But you still be testing. You still got
yeah.
Yeah, there may be an eight or 10-month interval, see?
Which
from the last herd test.
That's the intent of our post-entry test, is
right.
to capture that. I mean, you're right, the certified free herd, there still could be incubation going on there. It's just less likely. I mean, I just made a call off the top of my head. The truth is there's still a chance.
You'll still be requiring testing on certified free herd.
Yeah,
you're requiring them to be tested at the time they leave the state, even though they've been tested, say, in October, and they leave in June, you're still requiring another test even 6 months later if they leave the
correct.
Area.
No one's exempt. There is
exactly.
there is a window of 30 days in the spring. So if you have a test more than 30 days, you need to be tested in the fall.
So what we'd be talking about is certified free herd, but then there's still, if you leave that area, you've got to test whether
well,
60 days you're going.
We could still do the interstate test on the certified herd animal, you know.
That's what he's saying, do it
and
just like
have one test. Would that?
Could I make a suggestion in that this is good dialogue, and it could be something that we could have for our next meeting as a proposed amendment, if need be, or is it substantive enough to where it could be, Gene, could it be amended in such a point, and maybe not even using the word certified free herd, but purchasing cattle from Montana and the DSA that have come from herds that have had annual tests?
I'm a little... my recommendation is it be an amendment at the next meeting because
okay.
My EPI's guys, he said,
I agree.
I just gave you an answer off the top of my head.
Okay.
And I
would
prefer the deep thinkers actually come back and say, well, you realize you forgot.
Okay.
The truth is the annual test lowers the risk. That's the bottom line. It does not protect against an incubation or recent exposure, which is why we put the rule in to begin with to get another test sometime after they leave the DSA, because as long as they're in the DSA, they're in the region for potential exposure, and it doesn't matter if they're certified free or not. So can I kind of retract it?
No. All I'm saying, and that's why I asked the question, D.
Could, you know what I mean?
Then my suggestion would be that the EPI team between now and the next meeting can study this and look at whether the combination of a herd in the DSA that has had a yearly test, a whole herd test, plus the second test, that then they may change mm-hmm. their recommendation towards you for at least
what
the state of Montana.
Is that real
get the number
shot.
And all
so,
that kind of thing. Have an effective program then bypass it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And we and the dialogue is wonderful. We do have one more public comment from Mr. Palmer representing the Matador Cattle Company. Mr. Palmer, would you like to say a few words?
I'll be very brief because a number of the things that I was going to mention y'all already discussed, but I would like to say thank you right quick. It's not often that an old $30 cowboy gets to speak to a distinguished audience like this. So I got to say something.
There's a few of us at a $30 cowboy if we get a raise.
That and Dr. Ellis has left the room, but if you're in a position that I happen to be in, and you think about the discussion that's gone on here, I want to say thank you to this commission, to Dr. Ellis, his team, for the USDA, for my friends from Montana. Everybody here's intent is to protect people in the industry, and I thank you for that. No matter what the outcome, we all have a similar intent for the outcome. So I wanted to say that. What I want to speak just real briefly, because y'all have already talked about most of the things I had, is that the company that I have, that I represent, we ranch in three states. Two of those states being Texas and Montana. We have the privilege of our ranch in Montana being within the DSA. From time to time, we bring heifers from the Montana ranch. We may or may not bring them to Texas to use for replacements. We might stop them at our ranch in Kansas to breed there to sell or to bring. And frankly, I'll be honest, Dr. Ellis and I talked about this last October, and I have a set of heifers that we brought from our Montana ranch to our Kansas ranch because we needed animals there to stock. We have bred, they bred 95%, by the way, just so you know. And a portion of those are sitting waiting on trucks to come to the Texas ranch. So this has a very important impact to our organization. And I'll be up front, it really concerns me that the proposed regulations will devalue, particularly my heifer calves on that Montana ranch. Because it's even gonna be somewhat more of a burden even to our Texas ranch if we bring those heifers here. And I appreciate some of the comments because it helps me a little bit better to understand, because I can see bringing those heifers, putting them in one pasture, even if they run out of grass, I can't move them, you know, till 20 months is up, so I can test them.
We'll let you move them.
So I want to point that out, but what I want you to do is understand that these guys, Dr. Zalewski and these guys have really done a good job, and they've really got after it. We've been testing cattle on our ranch. In fact, this is a give or take number, so don't write it down, but we test approximately 2,600 cattle on our ranch every year. All of our replacement heifers are tested at pregnant time, so the pregnant replacement heifers and the open replacement heifers are tested. Every animal that leaves the ranch is tested. Then we'll test approximately another 1,200 animals across the ranch. So we have an extensive testing program. We do have exposure to numerous elk. Most of those elk, though, aren't in, this is one of those maybe I shouldn't even say because it'll make a liar out of you, but the majority of those time, those elk are not calving in the same location as the cow. So it seems to me and it concerns me that if we've done all this testing in our herd and we have a set of cows that in a 45-day breeding period, 70% of 7,000 cows will calve in the first 21 days, that to have to bring heifers from my Montana ranch to my Texas ranch, or even cows sometimes if we bring cows, and then have to quarantine, for lack of a better word, those cattle. It just concerns me some, particularly where we've never had a reaction. Now, I would tell you that, and this is just thinking out loud as I've listened, and I think this is good discussion, is that, you know, if you were bringing cattle from a herd that had had some positive test at some time, it would make sense to me. I just want us to be very cautious with the decision we're making. The other thing is that as a Texas producer, that I want us to be careful that we don't set a precedent in some decision we made here that we might all have to live with at some time. Because I think we're all after the same goal. So I had a couple of pages of notes. I'm not going to go that. You've discussed this in depth. We don't need to further that, but I just wanted you to know from an operational standpoint that it does concern me some of the thoughts that we've got here, particularly having ranches in two
three locations, yes, sir.
When you get these cattle into Texas, do you have an opportunity to run them through your chute, or are you going to recheck them, vaccinate them, inoculate them for the problems that we have here in Texas after they arrive, you know, say within 90 days or something?
Typically, we wouldn't, because one of the things that we try to do, and fortunately, one of the things, my responsibilities is compliance and best management practices, but we have a similar vaccination program at all of our ranches. So we try to be very consistent, so we don't necessarily have to do that. Obviously, if you bring heifers here, you'll bring them back at preg check time, those kind of things.
Yeah, my point being is that we could have an inspector there,
sure,
pull a blood sample, and no inconvenience for you, you know.
I think that's the key, is really making sure we make this inconvenient. Is, if I've heard some discussion today, even if I think that it's unwarranted and maybe overkill, there's probably some ways we could work through it, just based on.
And we're committed to that, absolutely committed to that.
So, but I do, I'll be very upfront. I do think you will devalue my opportunity with those heifers coming out of that area.
Are you marketing those heifers?
We do at times, yes. And it's, if I didn't already own them, I wouldn't go buy them. That's just the way it is.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Do we have any further?